Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
So what you gonna do, brother? We about to run wild with a style like no other. So somebody call Brodus Clay mother and tell her Richard runs on the men like Ed Lover and Doc Dre. What Scott say, what they hang on every word like it's something that the Rock say. No JR, but they talking wrestling. We bring the noise with the boys, so we Dalton Castling. So masculine, oozing machismo, mutton chop shop, Gran Turismo. No free throws, snout hoops and heels. It's D-Rod's retirement, give me the super feels. Straight shoot, it's real. Drop a pipe bomb, get rid of the bull like the Rock's right arm. So stay calm, tranquilo, I'll go Naito and give him Destino. And we know that you chumps ain't ready for the heartbreak runs and the Cuban Jannetty. They drop it heavy, tag team it like Teddy. Long go strong with the heat like Eddie. So steady like when Taker walked the tightrope. Spaz like Taz with the mic and a tight choke. Dirtiest player in the game with the eye poke. 1988 Macho Man on a line of coke. Other casts are a waste, they boring. Illegitimate sons like Jason Jordan. And Rich and Runs never give him respect unless they going on air with a broken frickin' neck. So bounce like Papa Pump's pecs. Every time they get down, they bound to catch wreck. Y'all don't know nada, they the Okadas. You're the Washington Generals, they the Globetrotters. A whole lot of podcasts on the scene, but Rich and Runs running wild is the cast of your dreams. So it seems these two is too sweet. Bullet Club pulling up with schemes to delete. So retreat, we steal, we cheat. But I never lie, I swear on these beats. And these two got some styles for you. But what you gonna do when they run wild on you?
Oh, hell yeah. It's the Big Dog Red Tires. And you're listening to the Running Wild podcast. Because if you're trying to run wild, this is the place to do it.
Do you want to let everyone know that you get it? Do you not want to be a Melvin? Well, then listen to the Running Wild podcast. And if you don't, you know what you are.
I'm the last real man, Silas Young. And if you're any kind of man, you'll be listening to the Running Wild podcast.
Hey guys, this is Mandy Leon, and you're listening to the Running Wild podcast.
This is Sam Adonis, El Hudo de las Chicas, the CMLL, and you are listening to the Running Wild podcast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Running Wild podcast. I'm your host, Rich. Alongside me, as always, my co-host Runs.
Yes, sir.
All right, we got a big episode coming up. We got covering a Royal Rumble with featuring the first ever 30 women over the top Royal Rumble match. We get to talk about our time at the 205 Live tour this week as well. Vince McMahon, XFL news, so much more. So I'm glad you guys could join us. Before we get started, I want to remind you that we're brought to you in partnership with Last Word on ProWrestling.com, PWPonderings.com, and ROHWorld.com. And we're featured on the Wrestling to the Max Network. You can find us wherever you listen to your iPad, any of your podcasts. And make sure you rate, subscribe, and review. All right. So, I mean, we really can't avoid this while we're talking about Royal Rumble. What did you think about Raw 25?
It was what I expected it to be, I guess. Just lots of random groupings of people and that kind of stuff. I didn't really think about the DX Balor Club stuff, so that was kind of cool. Austin McMahon. All right, so the beginning with JR and King and the sirens and stuff, it was like, whoa, what is going on? And then Austin McMahon, I just literally felt like I was, I don't know, 10, 11. Like, it was, man, it was just great. So that segment was probably the best thing all around. And I mean, I got the most enjoyment out of laughing at like the Manhattan Center just getting shit on because there was nothing there. Like they saw the same 205 live show that we saw the night before, except they got a pointless Undertaker promo. So,
man, that Undertaker promo. That Undertaker promo reminded me. What?
Go ahead.
That Undertaker promo reminded me of a student answer for like Do Nows when they haven't read the material that I'm talking about, and they just say something without really saying anything because
They restate the question and just throw in some evidence.
Yeah, because what I have no idea.
I beat all these guys.
Yeah, that's what he said.
They're all gonna rest in peace. I didn't.
If you were to ask me, just recap in one sentence what Undertaker said, it would be nothing. There's nothing to tell
absolutely
you that he said anything.
No. Which is like, it's what a waste. Like, why even? I would rather not see him. The other highlight of the night was, Jericho, the pop he got, one, was just kind of crazy. And two, he was amazing. So I'm curious if we get like Jericho Elias at Mania or something. Elias is the kind of guy I could see Jericho like watching and saying like, hey, let me work with that guy. Let me help him like he did with Fandango, so.
I don't know. I feel like that was a one shot. I mean, he just seems like he has so much going, at this point. He's got the cruise.
Right,
Naito.
The cruise is like next October, right?
So well, it's October, he'll probably wrestle Naito at Dominion or something like that. It's got to be one of the bigger shows, right? Maybe sooner.
But if he can appear at World 25, why wouldn't he appear? You know what I mean?
They paid MVP. Did he say a word? He was just part of the poker night.
I didn't even know that he was there. I didn't see him. I didn't pay full attention to those stupid poker segments.
I did. Look, overall, I guess I just felt like essentially because there were two locations, I thought this was going to be extra special. And if you think back to Raw 1000, this was probably kind of along the same lines. I mean, you still had like at least one good match and one big moment.
It's a parade of the legends.
Yeah, I just felt like there was going to be more at the Manhattan Center. Overall, I'll tell you after I watched it, I signed in to Chase, and I smiled knowing that I had more money in my bank account than I would have if you and I had gone to that show. And
There's people that paid $450 at least to go to that show. I really don't know like what my feelings would be. Like I don't know how angry I would be. Man, like they got nothing. And it was all of like the same fans who were in the same seats all the time. So I kind of laughed because
the Brock Lesnar guy
good
was
for
there.
You. Right, and that guy is like number one enemy. So I laughed because good for those guys that they kind of got a little shit into the stick for a change. But
that clown, what's his name? Noel Foley was dating that clown, Frank the Clown. good for you, Frank the Clown.
So exactly. Like, it didn't hurt my feelings too much because I wasn't there. So. No problem. It was what it was. Watching it at home, it was fine. It just sucks that it was the go-home to Rumble because, like, what the hell did they even build to Rumble? That was fine. But, on some bigger and better things,
imagine
the weekend should actually be.
Imagine good. Last week or last month or 3 months ago or 6 months ago or a year ago saying, I'm going to go to a 205 live show with less than 2,000 people, and that is that's a better decision than going to Raw 25 at the Manhattan Center. That sentence is absurd.
And I enjoyed 205 Live more than I enjoyed Raw 25 from the Manhattan Center side of it. So, yeah, for sure.
I mean, the only
it was at least $375 cheaper. So,
yeah, and I mean, I will say the concession stand has the concession stand had a long line, but other than that, I really enjoyed it. Also, my favorite part of the evening. I mean, I like the wrestling, obviously. My personal victory moment was when I looked over and saw the Kalisto mask on sale for $50, and then went on WWE.com and bought it for $14.99. Thank you, WWE, for having better deals on your website than you do in person.
Thank you for being a mark and buying a cigar mask. Anyway, this coming from the guy who has the Santino snake, so no, you know,
do you
no,
really?
No qualms for me.
Yes.
a couple things. One, did you see JR and King sleeping? That was pretty hilarious.
I mean,
flat sleeping, like not that.
I don't know how you. Okay, I know how you fall asleep because I fall asleep watching Raw all the time. And if it's dark, I fall asleep too. And those dudes are pretty old, and they had nothing to do. But I just can't believe as a professional,
drink a soda. Like, I don't know, do something.
they're like serious guys. I mean, you would assume that they could have literally just walked to the back if they wanted to. weren't calling the matches that were dark matches. So, right. And best part is that we basically saw better matches than they did at the Manhattan Center from the 205 Live guys, from what I hear.
Basically, like, they saw the card that, like, I expected, like, being that the card in Philly was the same that we saw. Like, I expected a slight little change, and that's what basically they got. So, you know, it is what it is.
Oh, well.
The other thing was The Miz going from the Barclays to Manhattan Center, even though it wasn't aired on TV, was cool. And, you know, like, he shit on ROH being in the Hammerstein below them and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, he really? I didn't read that.
Yeah, like, so he came out and the fans went crazy for him because, like, he was giving them something entertaining. And then he came out during or after, like, the DX thing, and he was saying how he was better than all of them, whatever. Rollins was there, so he said, like, you know, I know you were a champion here, but that was blah, blah. And, like, then he basically made the crowd, like, boo him again. And then they started to cheer him, and he was like, no, no, no. You were just booing me. Get out of here.
Nice.
Or whatever, it might have been the other way, where they were booing him, and he said, you remember, like, 20 minutes ago when you were just cheering for me? Idiots? Something like that.
I mean, do you think that it was a good show, and we were just expecting too much?
No, I had no expectations. Like, I know what to expect on holiday episodes. I know what to expect on 1,000th episode and 25th anniversary episodes. They're all the same. It's just nothing, you know? Nothing important. Yes, The Miz winning was cool.
That was the one thing.
But, you know, everything else was pretty much, like, does the Balor Club 2 Sweeting DX make them relevant? Like, no. It was a cool moment for those guys, and I enjoyed it, but I don't think it matters.
Imagine being Razor Scott Hall, and your entrance just goes to commercial.
Yeah, that was, like, what?
Dun, 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 dun. Now, stay tuned and watch another episode of Chrisley Knows Best.
I don't even know if they did that. I think they just straight, like, cut off.
No, yeah. No.
I was like, wait, what the hell? Like, did they run out of time there? Did they have to go back to Barclays? So, yeah, I mean, it was whatever, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm much more excited to talk about Royal Rumble on Sunday.
And NXT.
Yeah, how high is your hype level right now for Royal Rumble?
I mean, I got to get through the insane asylum tomorrow, so once I get done with that and I'm on my way home, then I'll be there.
I thought for some reason, I know you said Insane Asylum, I immediately heard Ambrose Asylum or something. Wasn't that a thing?
Yeah, and I had a potted point.
That was the name of the match, right?
Mitch.
Yeah. Ridiculous. All right. So, do you want to talk about NXT first, actually? Cause since you brought that up, that makes sense chronologically.
Sure.
All right. So, one of the first matches that I see that we have on NXT TakeOver Philadelphia, Velveteen Dream versus Cassius Ohno.
Yeah, they just added that. Like this week, I think. So, Velveteen Dream is really good, and we know how good Hero is. So, this is just the perfect opportunity for Dream to get a nice win and Ohno to put over the next generation.
Just once in a blue, I'd like to see Ohno. I mean, I get it. He's putting people over. I just.
But not this. Right, like I get what you're saying, and you know we always had this, but especially not Velveteen Dream, you know, not him.
But I know
like,
he's.
This is one where like he actually should win, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, look, it's if you're gonna have somebody who you know puts over other talents, that's great, but he has to win as well. He has to win every once in a while so that it's like, hey, this is a guy who wins, not like, oh, here's this guy who was really good on the independent circuit, and now he's here, and he loses every match to our big guys.
Yes and no. I know how good he is. I enjoy watching him just wrestle. How many times did he really win on the independents when we were watching? A lot of the times he was doing the same kind of thing. You know, he just was presented differently and like he was more important. So on that end, I'm completely with you. But, you know, Chris Hero is awesome. But he's never going to be that guy in the WWE. So, I mean, it just is what it is.
All right.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
So you're calling Velveteen Dream?
Yes.
Yeah, me too. All right, next match. You have the Undisputed Era. Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly, champions, are defending against the Authors of Pain. I feel like this is... It's still, for me, too early for Undisputed Era to drop the titles. I think they should hold the championship a little bit longer. I think the Authors of Pain, to me, are soon going to be heading up. I feel like, who did we say this about over and over again last year? I think I kept just saying, oh, they're not going to win because they're going to go up, and then they kept winning.
Probably Asuka.
So, at this point, I just feel like this will be a good match. I love seeing Fish and O'Reilly together, but I just don't see how they're going to drop the titles right now. I just feel like there needs to be more of a build.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. And I think beating the Authors of Pain gives them a nice solidified win in their title run. So, yeah, and then that could easily be AOP Swan Song, or maybe they fight with War Machine at the next one and then they're called up or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I'll generally agree with that, because I don't see O'Reilly and Fish heading up soon. I think they're going to be staying in NXT for a little bit. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see any reason to rush them
up right now. They have a nice spot in NXT. They're, you know, they really just debuted and with this whole gimmick and Undisputed Era and everything. So I definitely would rather see them just have some legs under it.
All right. And the next match is the Women's Championship match, where Ember Moon will be defending her title against Shayna Baszler. I think this has the makings of a really good match. I feel like Baszler is going to be... They're presenting her here as a big deal. I would not be terribly shocked if she won the title.
It wouldn't shock me at all. But I also wonder if she throws some elbows and doesn't stop and gets DQ'd. Like something along those lines. Which,
she goes overboard. Okay.
Right. You know, it's her first like match on NXT, right? So, I don't know. I wouldn't mind seeing her win, and we can get Ember in the Rumble, something like that. It doesn't really matter. So, either way, I'm fine with this. But yeah, I'll go with you with Baszler.
All right. Next match up is, my apologies, Aleister Black versus Adam Cole.
Oof, in an Extreme Rules match.
Yeah, this is fantastic, no?
Yeah, this is going to be a lot of fun. This is probably the two best guys in NXT. Like, we'll get to the main event, and no disrespect to those guys. We love them both, but I don't know. Black and Cole are another level superstar for WWE. So, I mean, seeing this is kind of one of those dream matches, so to speak. So this should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be fantastic. I think it's weird. I feel like Aleister Black is going to win this match, but it's going to be fantastic. I guess I don't know what they're going to be doing with Adam Cole.
Here's what I'm going to say is what I've kind of been saying a little bit for the last couple weeks, months, whatever it's been. Maybe this is where we get a Dijak and he joins Undisputed Era or something like that. It's an Extreme Rules match. There's no DQ. Fish and O'Reilly are working earlier. Maybe Authors of Pain cut them off or something like that later on. And then we get the new man joining the group to help him get the win.
You know, as you say that, and I probably wouldn't have thought of this had you not said it, but Dijak tweeted something along the lines of 2 years ago in Philadelphia, you know, like, I think that's where, I think he may have won the top prospect tournament there for Ring of Honor. And his tweet was basically like, 2 years ago in Philadelphia, like, I made my mark, you know, I showed everyone what I'm capable of, you know, like, there's more to come. I hope to do the same, you know, in Philly, you know, coming up. So he's not on the TakeOver card. He could be a dark match, but then he also could be getting himself... He could be out there, you know, and that might have been like a little tease for us so that we could all feast our eyes. I'm pretty hyped. I hope that happens because look, Aleister Black is amazing. He really is. I think he's excellent. I can't wait to see him up on the main roster. I love Adam Cole, though. I'm just, it's hard for me just to call. Like, I'm gonna actually change and say I want Adam Cole to, that Adam Cole's going to win, because hopefully by picking him, it actually comes true.
Yeah, I mean, it makes total sense.
Yeah, I know that, and the way you're suggesting it is a great way for them to protect Black, and while still continuing Cole, kind of, you know, showing that he kind of needs help sometimes, and he's a little... You know, he's a heel, and I think it's fantastic. I think he's doing a great job down there.
Right, and you could then have Dijak feud with Black, and they have a match, and whatever happens from there. So, you know, it could go either way. And I think I can speak for both of us when I say I don't really care either way who wins this match. It's good for both of them to have this match, and... It's going to be enjoyable.
All right, and the main event is going to be Andrade Cien Almas with Zelina Vega defending the NXT Championship against Johnny Gargano. I really like the build to this. I mean, Listen, I love Almas with Vega is fantastic. She's like perfect at being like kind of raises up his obnoxious level.
Mm-hmm.
It's so weird. It's like she multiplies his powers just by being there. You know, it's not that like she outshines him. Is that she just actually makes him better? Which I gotta say is a testament to her. You know, it's not like, oh, we're watching for just Vega. You know, because like, you know, she's attractive or she's extremely good at what she does. She's so good at what she does, I think, that she doesn't stand apart from him. You know, I think you can clearly feel that she's adding to his worth.
Yeah, it brought like a business level to Almas. You know, and I guess that's exactly what they wanted, right? Because it was the whole he's partying too much and he needs to get serious, so that makes sense. But you know, I kind of feel like Almas and Vega are kind of not being wasted on NXT, but I feel like they're not turning from the main roster, and the longer that they keep them down there, I'm not sure if that doesn't lose some steam. And you could say what you want about guys getting called up and losing steam anyway, but you know, I think they're in a spot to succeed, and they're good enough to succeed. So I wouldn't mind that. And in saying that, I'm gonna say that we get a Candice appearance here, right, to help Johnny. And I'm gonna say maybe Adam Cole wins that one with Dijak, and then maybe we get Johnny Gargano as the NXT champion.
Oh, don't tease me. See. I feel like you said that so that I'll agree with you, because part of you knows that Ciampa's going to come out and cost him the match.
Well, so like here's my thinking. If let's say we are correct with Dijak and Cole, then do they do another one in?
Okay.
In the main event. So that's where I'm just saying maybe Tommaso's not ready to come back, or maybe he doesn't come back here, and then. Maybe Johnny's able to overcome finally and get this win, but I don't think so. But in a perfect world, Almas and Vega would get called up or show up in the Rumble, and Johnny would win, face Adam Cole, face Ciampa, whoever.
This is his first title shot, correct? He lost a match to Almas, but he didn't face him for the title, I don't believe.
I think he might have on NXT and lost, or he might have just lost to him again on NXT.
Because
yeah, when they fought at Brooklyn, it wasn't Almas wasn't the champion yet.
Because you know the truth of the matter is, as much as I want Gargano to win the championship, it feels like he should struggle more, right? Maybe this is like maybe Vega costs him the match again, and then finally Candice comes out, and then.
I mean it. Johnny Gargano is the ultimate underdog, so it could happen that way very easily. But I'm just saying that would be the third time that Vega cost him the match
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
So I'm hoping at this point, especially with them just signing Candice, that maybe he's able to even the odds this time and finally get the better of them. But, you know, with Johnny, he doesn't need the title, you know, and he's somebody that gains more steam by losing and being the underdog. But, you know, it comes a point where that guy has to win. So I wouldn't mind it being in Philly. I think the crowd would be crazy for that to happen. So I don't know. I'm rooting for that.
Oh, 100%. I think part of the reason why I'm not just outright saying Gargano wins is because I'm protecting myself. And I also, when I hear you talk about him, I hear you talk. I almost hear the same exact things that you were saying about Sami Zayn when he was down in NXT, and it hurts my heart because I remember what happened to Sami Zayn. So I think I'm trying to protect myself because I can't go through another moment. Like if he wins a title and then Ciampa comes out and just power bombs him, I'm on the apron. I'm gonna lose my mind. I'm just not gonna be able to handle it.
It's funny too because Jericho and Owens and Zayn were on Jericho's podcast, and Owens said that when he was moving to Tampa or whatever Florida, he told like Albert and Triple H or whoever, like, oh, NXT has a house show, I'll come in, I'll have the promo with Gargano, you know, I'll say Ciampa was smart. He did the right thing. And I was just dying because, like, those are your two guys. And that's my guy shitting on both of them at the same time. You know, it was pretty funny.
Yeah, funny is a word. It's supposed to be what's a word. I will say, shameless plug for the show, but there are 12 people competing on NXT TakeOver. Four of them have been on our podcast. And if Dijak shows up, that's 5 out of 13, at least, people on NXT TakeOver Philadelphia that have been on this podcast. Where can you find those episodes? You can find those on iTunes or SoundCloud. Go back, look at our previous episodes. We have interviews with Adam Cole, Bobby Fish, Kyle O'Reilly, and Johnny Gargano. Johnny Gargano is actually one of our most... that one's fun. You should go back and listen because it's very awkward, and it's one of my first interviews in person. So that's when if you remember my, hey, what's your favorite baseball team gimmick that I started on the first early interviews that I quickly decided was stupid. No, you told me it was stupid, and I had to get rid of it. And I was...
I don't know if I use those words, but I just you know.
Not on air, but it was like, you should probably just stop asking that question. Right. I think it was, I forgot who it was.
I think it was like, yeah, what happens when people don't watch baseball?
Well, somebody said that. Somebody was like, well, yeah, I don't Ethan really. Page, yeah. Ethan Page was like, I kind of like the White Sox symbol. And I was like, God damn. I was hoping he would pick like the Blue Jays.
Right.
All right, so NXT TakeOver, look, I'm old. I feel like JR and King right here. NXT TakeOver is right up my alley. I can put it on, watch it, not fall asleep. I'll be fine. I think as we move into Royal Rumble and we start talking about the matches, I'm going to tell you where I think I start to fall asleep. Or maybe you can point it out. I think you'll be better at this because you seem to be able to gauge when I'll knock out.
I'm not too sold on not falling asleep during TakeOver, but I'll take your word for it.
I think I'll make it. Okay, if there was one show for you to come over and watch, it would definitely be TakeOver.
Sure.
Because then if I fall asleep and you can't wake me up, then at least you don't have work in the morning. All right. So moving into Royal Rumble, away from my sleeping patterns. So actually, if you go to WWE.com and you're looking for the preview, one of the first things that you see at the bottom of the list is Stephanie McMahon to join commentary for Women's Royal Rumble match. I don't understand why. When I understand that she's part of, obviously, like, you know, at the forefront, I guess, in some ways, of this revolution, right? But at the same time, there are other female voices. Like, why don't you have Renee Young doing that?
I mean, that's a good question. Renee Young would be the perfect person to do that, but I guess... For the first ever one, they just wanted to get Steph in there, who's announced all of the big announcements for the women in the past however many years it's been, 2-3 years. So, you know, I don't mind that. She's kind of the person who's the face or the power, the general manager behind the women's stuff, so... You know, it is what it is.
I mean, I thought they made a mistake with the with the tournament this summer, not having Renee Young on commentary, and instead going with JR and Lita, which was an interesting pairing to say the least. Now you have an opportunity, and I think that it has to happen. I think at some point that you need to have female commentary, and at Royal Rumble for the women's match, have somebody who's going to be in that role. Stephanie doesn't need to do this, and it's not going to make it more interesting. But having Renee Young be at one of the big four pay-per-views, even if it's for one match only, sitting there and doing commentary, would really kind of send a message that they're shaking things up with commentary. And she's good. She doesn't need to always be the pre-show host.
Yes, but to what you're saying, if she had done the women's tournament and she had done other things, then maybe you could put her in that role. But she hasn't commentated in I don't know how long. So you can't throw her in that position on the Royal Rumble for the first ever one. And then people are sitting there just bad-mouthing the commentary the whole time. Because you know that'll happen. So I'm not opposed. It would be great, and I don't know why they don't use Renee Young as more of that, because she's so good. But, I mean, I guess it's kind of maybe one of those things where you're so good at this that we need you there. And we'll find someone else to do that stuff. And, you know, you can't put a Beth or a Lita or a this or a that behind the announce desk because you might be having them in the Rumble.
Oh, that's fair. No, I understand that. I actually want to see more people like Renee or Charlie Caruso, you know, one of them. I don't think that the first commentary person or the women commentary team needs to be a former wrestler. You know, just in the way that the commentary teams are not just former wrestlers on the male counterparts. You know, they're broadcasting guys, and they can bring in broadcasting female talent to do it.
Yeah, and I mean, just think about how long it took Michael Cole or Tom Phillips or any of those guys to actually transition from the backstage guy to an announcer role. So, you know, maybe it's kind of just part of something along those lines, you know.
Speaking of backstage stuff, did you see the Raw exclusive of Stone Cold's backstage segment with this guy, Mike? I think that's the commentator's name. So,
Mike Bloom.
Yeah, he asks Stone Cold one question. Stone Cold answers it. And then he goes, well, thanks for joining us. And Stone Cold's like, are you telling me that you have Stone Cold Steve Austin at Raw 25 and you only have one question for me? And he just rips the dude a new asshole. And the guy's just standing there. And I won't lie, instead of laughing, my heart went out to him. Like, I picture that to be not... That's not kayfabe. That was a complete shoot. The poor dude was given one question. They told him to do that. Stone Cold was pissed off that they didn't give him, like, more mic time and just had him do the stunners and leave. And then he just went at it himself and destroyed this man who was just doing what he was told to do. And I felt like that could have easily been me if I were in that situation. Oh, what do you guys want me to do? Okay, you're sure only one question? Yes, only one question. Then you go do it, and then Stone Cold, one of your heroes, destroys you for everyone to see. Like, that was rough, man. If you haven't seen it, go to WWE.com and check it out, because it is pretty brutal. All right, so now that that's over, I'm done complaining and saying random stuff. Let's go to the actual event. So now they're not saying what's on the pre-show. I'm not even sure. I mean, the show starts at 7, so you would assume the pre-show is 6:30, 6 o'clock. But they haven't said anything.
5 o'clock.
5 o'clock, oh my God. All right.
I mean, I'm making that up, but I'm pretty sure
It's probably like...
It's Big Four, so probably, usually that's...
It's going to... I mean, sometimes the pre-show is like when you wake up on a Sunday before football and you make the... I mean, I've done this and start watching NFL preview at like 9 a.m.
Yep.
That's just too much. I actually want them to have a mini ring where they get up and they'll be like, well, if he comes at him like this, and then they duck like the way the guy's doing on the NFL previews. I love that stuff. So you see what he did here was... But anyway, our first match, I'm not sure if it's preview or not. I don't think it should be. It's a SmackDown Tag Team Champions, the Usos defending against Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin in a 2 out of 3 falls match. This is weird because I feel like the gimmick lends itself to me when you have a champion, not all the time, but many times when you have a heel champion, and this is where it gets a little muddy, but usually when you have the heel champion in this kind of match, they're going to lose titles. But it feels like Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin are actually, they're the heels and the Usos are the faces almost at this point.
Agreed, for this feud at least. And Benjamin and Gable just, they haven't gotten over. The Usos are awesome. I don't want to see them lose here. It doesn't make any sense for me to put the titles on if you put the titles on Benjamin and Gable, I don't think we see the titles at WrestleMania. You know what I mean? Whereas if you have them on the Usos, it's a bigger match. It means something. So I don't know who challenges the Usos next. But I don't really know who would face Gable and Benjamin either. So that remains to be seen.
I mean, I don't want to go off here. You know, the reason that Gable and Shelton Benjamin aren't over is just because they're just a weird... It's like the New Rockers. They might as well just call themselves the New World's Greatest Tag Team.
There was no hype. There was nothing behind them. Nobody cared. Like, it just... They came out of nowhere, and they were a team, and that was it, you know?
Hey, guys, you know what? That Gable guy, he kind of looks like Charlie Haas. And Benjamin, hey, we could just slide him right in and take Jordan's spot. Nobody's even going to notice. I mean, that's almost... I feel like that's what happened backstage at some point. And nobody else could think of what to do. So they were like, you know what? That's a great idea. Let's put them together.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's any way they win the titles. There's just not enough importance here on them.
The only thing is if Jimmy Uso's or Jey Uso, whichever Uso's arrest comes into play. But it doesn't seem like it is. It doesn't seem like it should. So hopefully we're all good there.
As we've seen this week, I'm pretty sure that if WWE wants to take action against someone because of some legal pending matters, they are going to take action
very
quickly.
Different. Yeah.
I mean,
right,
very
exactly.
Different,
and
but still.
Came,
I mean, he's a...
They came out with a statement that said he's responsible for his own personal actions. So I'm pretty sure they're just like, yeah, DUI, get out of here. Who cares?
But it's weird because Vince McMahon announced today when he announced that he's bringing the freaking XFL back that anyone who's had a DUI cannot play in the league.
I mean, that the XFL idea sounds awesome. Family-friendly, faster, all that kind of stuff. And everything Vince said today in the press conference sounded right. He's going to hire executives and real people, and he has a lot more time to plan this one. So, hey, whatever, man. I'm going to watch it. I still have my old XFL football, so yeah, I can't wait. 2020.
In 2020, clearly, I'm just making the announcement now on the podcast so that you remember this. I will not be in our normal fantasy football league. I am dropping out, and I'm going to dedicate all my time to researching XFL, and we're going to do an XFL draft, and I am going to kill it, son. I cannot wait.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the difference would be between the actual and the XFL, so... Sure.
I'm coming for you, Wolf. All right? I'm taking that XFL draft title. All right. Moving along. But seriously, XFL, I'll just say I'm not excited about it. I don't understand why. I don't understand why somebody can't tell this crazy old man this is a bad idea. This is a terrible idea.
Because it's a great idea. Why is it a bad idea?
Because I don't think it's going to generate an... I mean, I like how it's like, oh, we're going to play when football's not being played, you know, because I want to bring back, you know, fun football for everyone. There's a little thing called baseball. There's also a little thing called the MLS. There are things that go on when football doesn't happen.
Okay. Nobody cares about the MLS. Baseball is dying. And, I mean, I love watching football. I will happily watch some XFL games on a Saturday night or a Friday night or a Sunday, whatever, whenever they're on during the summer. Or that's awesome. Thanks, man.
Well, it's interesting you say that nobody cares about the MLS when XFL is actually following a similar business model in that they're going to be a single entity that technically basically owns the teams.
Well, that's what Vince said today, is that he's not going to do that.
No, he said
no. No, he said they asked if he was going to do that, and he said, I'm hiring executives and all that. It won't be where we just own all the teams.
Oh, no, he's hiring executives, but he's still running it as a single entity. So in some ways, the league owns all the teams.
I thought he said completely the opposite.
Oh, I read, like, the fact sheet and said it would be run as a single entity thing where the teams would be basically, like, all belong in some way to the, you know, to management there, you know, like Vince isn't going to control the team, but
right.
Like if anything happens, MLS does that.
Still, I don't think it's comparable. People care about football. People don't care about soccer in America.
You just said people care about football, but people don't care about football, basically. Listen.
Nope, I said soccer. This is America.
I will go on. I will tell you right now that the Red Bulls will... I mean, listen, MLS has already been around for 20 years, man. Like, the XFL is not going to be around for 20 years.
The New York Hitmen will draw more money than the Red Bulls.
I have a big announcement to make about just because of what Runs just said. So, guys, make sure you tune in next week to hear that announcement. By the way, that's a quick reference to 205 Live, which they this week, because of the departure of the champion Enzo Amore, due to being released. By the way, only person I've ever seen released from WWE who wasn't wished well in their future endeavors. Like, usually it says, like, he's been released, we wished him well in their future endeavors, Enzo Amore is released. They just said he's released. They did not wish him well. So that was tough. We know about it. We're just not going to really talk about it. But Daniel Bryan came out and said, all right, big announcement. And the big announcement was, next week we're going to reveal who the GM for 205 Live is. I just love 205 Live having a GM is like a school of 125 kids having three deans. What are there, nine guys on the roster down there, and they need a GM? Like, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever fucking heard.
They need someone to run the show, right? Like, there's nobody booking the matches or stuff like that. So, whatever, at least there'll be someone out front. Who?
Hornswoggle.
Who could
please.
It be?
Like, hope it's Hornswoggle.
It has to be, like, a cruiserweight, right? Like, that would make sense. But... what cruiserweight is there?
Hurricane Helms tweeted out that he posted a picture with him holding both cruiserweight titles, and said his titles.
He would be perfect. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he would be fantastic. I mean, for me, the
Chavo, he's like Lucha Underground ish. I don't think Chavo.
I'd pop if I heard, ooh, Chavo.
Yeah, that would get boring. I don't know.
Vicky. It doesn't have to be a cruiserweight. Like, we're thinking
about
that.
But I'd rather see, like, I know. I'm just saying, like, wouldn't it make sense, though, for it to be somebody who knows about cruiserweight wrestling? Like, and not just
Mike Adamale.
Show?
Mike Adamale.
No. He wasn't even one of the best GMs. He wasn't even out there.
I cannot. Here's what I want to know. Mike Adamale. Did they just not want him, or was he too busy?
No. He was terrible.
I mean, listen.
So yeah, this is far too much time on Royal Rumble.
Sorry.
So yeah, back
to the Rumble. Listen, if you remember, you're the one who thought of this new format where I don't write anything down, and that just means that I can go off on complete tangents and forget what we were talking about, sir. But we will go back to Rumble. Heel stat wife over here is telling me that we're running out of time. So, all right, next tag team match. We have Seth Rollins and Jason Jordan defending against The Bar, Cesaro and Sheamus. I don't see Rollins and Jordan losing the titles yet.
No, I hope not. I'm really enjoying Jason Jordan right now. He's been fantastic with his delivery and being a heel. It seems like he's comfortable. Seems like he's finding a bit of his character, and I'm enjoying it. So, yeah, I don't want to see them lose the titles right now. I think there's more you can do with this storyline, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't... It's so crazy, because he just basically took Kurt Angle's method, and that, you know, he's perfect. I mean, at doing that, like, just coming off as the guy who pretends to be, like, a good guy, but he's really, like, a slimy piece of crap. And it's just... It's so great. I almost want to go back and delete any episodes where I talked about how the Jason Jordan thing wasn't working, because I feel this is what they had planned the whole time. This is what they had planned,
man. Well, that's what I've been saying all along, is if this was a plan, this is great. If it's not, this is terrible. Whether it's a plan or not, he's getting into that heel role, and he's doing a great job.
Yeah, I completely agree. I like the bar, but I just don't see them winning the titles.
They've had it too much. Again, yeah, I'm with you. I like the bar, but I also wouldn't mind seeing them as singles guys if they're actually going to do anything with them.
I am going to miss. We don't set the bar. We are the bar. That I do like that. I do like their entrance.
You'll just see it on the Ford commercials.
It's true. Ford owes Vince McMahon a lot of money. All right. So we basically agree on that one. Versa. Pardon?
Or vice versa, I said.
Oh, true.
Depending on who came up with it first.
Oh, it's definitely Vince. Probably trademarked like 10 years ago. He trademarked He Hate Me, and he even said today that he wasn't going to be using nicknames. He didn't think that was going to happen, but he still went back and made sure that He Hate Me was locked up. All right, next you have Universal Championship match. Brock Lesnar defending against Braun Strowman, and the obvious winner here, Kane. How hyped are you for this match?
About a zero.
I see death. I mean, at this point, Strowman needs to, what can he possibly do to them?
Right. I don't, obviously, Brock pins Kane. What the hell?
Does Strowman take himself out trying to do something stupid? He tries to pull down the Titantron and it falls on him instead of them, and then Brock wins. He needs to destroy, he needs to somehow, fall in rubble, and then, Brock Lesnar wins the match. And then Braun explodes from the rubble just too late, and it protects Braun because I think that Braun, I think he needs to be champion by SummerSlam. Braun Strowman needs to be the world champion.
Yeah, I guess it's already at a point where when he flipped over the 18-wheeler or whatever, I was just come on. This is too much. The trailer, the Titantron, all that stuff. All right, now we're getting, when is this going to stop? Right, it's got to hit a point. So yeah, I'm with you that at some point soon he should be the champion, but it's not going to be at the Royal Rumble. I don't think it's not going to be right before WrestleMania. So it is what it is.
All right, then you have WWE Champion AJ Styles defending his title in a handicap match against Cammy, Kevin Owens, and Sami Zayn. Cammy, by the way, is trash.
Yeah.
Not them, but that name is...
Right. I mean, it's clearly a joke, but... movement.
I mean, Burger King was a joke, but it was funny and good. And Cammy is just not really interested. There's no way.
I mean, it's supposed to be, you're supposed to look at it and say, what the hell is this?
Is there any way that Owens and Zayn win here?
No. I don't believe so. Zayn just pinned AJ on SmackDown. It's not the first time that's happened in recent weeks either. It wouldn't make sense for the heels to get the win here, and they're really going to be the co-WWE champion. I don't see that. So,
man.
I'm assuming AJ hangs on to the title going into Mania because that's who should be the champion going into Mania.
There would be nothing funnier to me than seeing a Lay Cool type WWE championship that was split in two and they combined.
Yeah,
it.
but not at WrestleMania. You know what I mean? If this was a random show in July or whatever or May. This would be awesome. It would be cool to see that. But right now, you need the belt on your top guys and the best guys. And I think AJ is that guy for SmackDown.
There's no chance that they win it. And then doesn't SmackDown host the February pay-per-view?
I don't know.
I think I heard rumblings that there was an accidental. When they do commercials a little too early for a show?
Yeah.
I think there was some sort of announcement that a future match that was announced like that Daniel Bryan would be special guest referee for a match like this. So I don't know what's going to happen. But I think you're right. I think AJ hangs on to it. It just doesn't... I don't like the fact that he's going to beat two guys in a handicap match, the caliber of Owens and Zayn, but it is what it is.
At least they got a tag, right? Like, that's what they've been saying, so it's not two guys at the exact same time.
Yeah, but they can just break up the pinfall.
There'll be some shenanigans and stuff from Shane and Daniel, so it won't just be a 2-on-1. There'll be a whole bunch of other stuff going on.
I'll just tell you right now that if you and I were wrestling the WWE champion in a 2-on-1 handicap match and we fucking lost, I don't know, man.
I'm pretty sure we would.
We would have... What do you mean? Why would we lose? There's two of us. Anytime you're like getting pinned, I can break the pinfall.
Like wrestlers?
Oh, well, I guess there's that pesky fact in there that we're not wrestlers. But still, I'm just saying, I think that even if we're not wrestlers, 2-on-1, you should win. But as Lance Cade and Trevor Murdoch showed us, you know, it's kind of hard to beat John Cena alone. So I guess AJ's on that level.
Sure.
All right. And that's it, right? There's we covered all the matches for the Royal Rumble. I don't think there's anything left.
No.
All right. Which Royal Rumble do you think goes on first?
The women.
Is there any chance that the women's Rumble starts tonight?
Yeah.
Right, like just to space it out.
I'm pretty sure that's what will happen.
Okay, because I mean, I don't know if I could do back-to-back rumbles.
No, it's too much.
All right, so
60 people or 58 people getting tossed over the top rope, that would be a rough 2 hours.
Who are your special entrants here that haven't been announced?
For the women?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I guess I've said Ember Moon. Beth Phoenix was in my... Ember Moon and Beth Phoenix actually were in my... Final Four when we did that
right.
A couple weeks ago. So those two, maybe we get Lita, even though she wasn't at Raw 25, which was strange. But yeah, those two, maybe Molly Holly, I don't know. Maybe there's like someone like Shayna Baszler or someone. I think I heard Bailey was on a podcast today where she said that, like, at her count, there was, like, at most 20 actual women on the roster. So, you know, there's at least 10 spots that have to be filled. And it's going to be cool to see some legends come out and have their moment.
All right. I should have probably...
I'll tell you, one fun one I'll tell you. I'll say Karma.
Karma? Huh. All right. I like that. I don't know if we'll see Molly Holly. I feel like she's not up for coming back. I don't know. I listened to a podcast. She was on The Art of Wrestling with Colt Cabana, and she kind of basically said that she's happy. She doesn't really have any notions of coming back. So, I mean, obviously, the money would be nice, and maybe she'll just want to do it to be part of it, but I just feel she won't be there. And now that I'm thinking about it,
she was on The Art of Wrestling with Colt Cabana when?
I don't know. A couple months ago.
Not anytime soon.
No, yeah. Okay, so maybe like you're saying that the announcement would have changed her mind.
Yeah, I mean, I think anyone is possible to come back for the Women's Rumble. You know, this is history. This is the first time. So, you know, I think we'll see a lot of cool stuff.
So now that I'm thinking about it, do you think there's a possibility that Ronda's definitely going to show up because no. Stephanie's on commentary?
No, I think there's a 0% chance she shows up. Everything they've been saying is there's like no real contact. She has a movie and all that kind of stuff. So, I don't know.
All right, 0% chance. So I'm going to say she's definitely there. But I originally had said that she was going to win. Now, it's interesting. Asuka would be a favorite. But her tossing everybody over the top rope on Raw makes me think that she's not going to win. Like, it was like, look how good she is at throwing people over the top rope. And then she does it. Like, that's... When you see that happen right before, you're automatically like, oh, that person's not going to win now. Or, I mean, at least the way WWE usually does stuff.
Well, maybe they're messing with you and they want you to think that. But I also... I agree with you. I kind of think that whenever she's in there, whoever is in the ring is going to gang up on her. Maybe everyone that got thrown out on Raw is in the ring at one time. And, you know, they they gang up on her or something like that.
So she gets like Big Show treatment.
You know, it could go either way. Right. It could go either way. But, you know, I think I had said Paige maybe was going to win this when we did the predictions, because it would have been cool for her to get that spotlight. But, you know, now it's definitely a lot more up in the air. And anyone can win. Nia and Asuka, I would say, are the favorites. Nia has a built-in storyline with Alexa going on, right? So that kind of makes sense. So I think that's going to be my pick, is Nia. Maybe she eliminates Asuka at the end or something of that nature, and we get Nia and Alexa. Or maybe it's a triple threat, or, you know, who knows. But Nia and Alexa seems to make a little bit of sense.
I'm going to go with Becky Lynch.
Okay.
I think she's, you know, she's excellent. She was away for a while. So she hasn't really been in the title picture. She's back now. I think it would be a good way to kind of put her back up there. I think she could go a long time if need be. So I'm going to go with Becky Lynch.
Okay.
All right, and now on to the Royal Rumble. I'm decidedly tempering my expectations of this Rumble. I'm sorry, the Men's Rumble, because quite honestly, after seeing Roman Reigns lose the title on Monday Night Raw, I just feel like that paved the way for him to win the Rumble, and it's going to be in Philly again. We've talked about this. You mentioned it, so I'm kind of stealing a little bit of your idea here. You look a little irritated because I'm saying it, but I think that Roman Reigns is going to win in front of Philly, and it's the crowd's going to go absolutely insane in a negative way.
And I think they learn from that mistake. And I think Shinsuke eliminates Reigns and gets the win. I think Shinsuke winning the Rumble in Philly would be huge. So that's one moment. Him and AJ at Mania would be an insane match. And then Shinsuke winning would cement him. That would make him where Roman doesn't need to win the Rumble. He doesn't need to win the Rumble to face Brock. He doesn't need the credibility from winning the Rumble. He doesn't need any of that. And if they give that to him, it's a waste, it's lazy, and the fans should boo again, because there's no need for it. He can face Brock any other way, and I'm fine with him facing Brock. It doesn't matter to me, but, you know, this should go the other way, and someone like Nakamura should get the win.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to do what you just did. I'm going to stick with Roman Reigns, because if Roman Reigns doesn't win, then I'm very happy. And, you know, I don't think my predictions win-loss record here will take a large hit by having one loss. I will happily take that loss if it means that I'm surprised that Roman doesn't win. But right now, if I say Roman's going to win and he wins, then I don't have to be upset. Then I'll just be like, okay, I expected that, and that's what happened. And maybe he just goes full-on absurd heel and just drinks in the hatred and doesn't even try to deny it.
Yeah, but, I mean, he's with the Shield right now, and so I don't know. It's not out of the question by any means, but I just feel like it's too easy, it's too obvious, it's unnecessary. So hopefully they do the right thing and they make somebody here, rather than just do the same old thing. Because I don't know, man. Have you seen Philadelphia after the Eagles games? So Roman Reigns winning, I don't know. City might just burn.
I'd love to see an episode of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia featuring the guys at Royal Rumble when Roman Reigns wins. That would be crazy. I don't think there's enough Crisco in all of Philly to keep people off of the light posts if Roman Reigns wins.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that's really we got Rumble covered, we got NXT TakeOver covered, and we talked about the 25th anniversary of Raw, sprinkled in a little bit of XFL. Did you get a chance to watch ROH this week? I'll answer for that for you. What?
Yeah,
did you say yes?
Yeah.
What did you think?
I always watch it.
Oh, so did you like this week's episode?
Yeah, it was good.
What was
a lot of good wrestling. The tag match was really good. I enjoyed the main event. I thought it was well done. That was it.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we started the show talking about how my students gave me vague answers in which I knew that they hadn't actually watched it or actually read the book. And we are now ending the show with my co-host over here very clearly giving you an answer that he watched it, but he didn't. There's not one...
Was there or was there not a tag match?
There was a tag match. How many tag matches were there? How many tag matches were there on the show?
That's not the question. My question was there or was there not a tag match? I said the tag match was really well done. That you can choose to put that to whichever match you felt was necessary. But, you know.
You know what hurts the most about
the show as a whole?
Do you know what hurts the most about this? That I know that you don't even read my reviews before we record.
What are you talking about?
No words. Look at this. It took you too long to say what you're talking about. What was my favorite part of the show?
Your favorite part of the show was the opening match.
I really did like the opener because the dogs were in it. I hate you.
Yeah, what do you? I mean, come on, man. I read your stuff and I watch the show. Come on. If I can't say anything else to prove it, I really don't know. I mean, I said you liked the opening match. I don't know what a second after you asked me the question. I don't really. Sheesh.
All right. Did we leave anything out this week?
No, that was it. You know, good job by ROH in getting me to actually watch this week, and no, it was a lot of fun.
All right, well, just want to remind you guys that you can reach out to us on social media. You can follow us on Twitter at Running Wild, LWOS. You can send us an email, runningwildpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Facebook at Running Wild on Wrestling. You can find us on all platforms where you find your podcasts. And make sure you guys check out our back library. We have interviews with tons of Ring of Honor and NXT talent. And until next week, you've been listening to the podcast that is just... Too sweet.
For Rich and Runs, this is the host of Ring of Honor Wrestling, Ian Riccaboni, signing off. Be sure to join them next week for another episode of the Running Wild Podcast.